Yes, and welcome, welcome, welcome once again to another podcast episode and show of the TJ Macklin Show. I am your host, as always, TJ Macklin, back with another week, late in the week, actually, depending on when this gets released, probably, let's see, it's Friday right now, maybe Saturday, Sunday, whatever. This gets released out to the public. So we took a bit of a hiatus here. Today's episode, quick one here, is with my good buddy over at Bleacher Report, as I have a lot of friends from over there, Barrett Salee. Does a lot of he is their lead writer when it comes to the SEC and college football. So the guy knows his stuff. He's everywhere. Anyone who can have him on, he's more than welcome to do it. Plus, he has his own radio show over at Sirius XM Radio, which is every Sunday, I believe in the morning, 9 to 11, which you can listen to him wrap up all things college football from the week beforehand. But he was generous enough in his busy, busy day doing a bunch of radio hits through ESPN Radio, probably Fox Sports, his own stuff with Bleacher Report, to come on and spend some time with us here to talk about what was the upcoming college football season. So we did this episode probably a couple weeks ago, I'd say. Maybe it was before the last Thursday, or before the first game of the season, so whenever that was. Then we got kind of sidetracked here with stuff going on around the house and the office. And so we have a time to put this episode together for you, the wonderful listener, to listen to. So some of the stuff may be outdated. For example, the first week's kicked off. Tennessee is still 1-0 by the time you listen to this. The Tennessee-Oklahoma game could have happened, so they may be 1-1. Who knows? But we give a prediction on what's going to happen in the season, who coaches. That's terrible English. Which coaches may be on a hot seat. Not really. I don't think we did that, to be honest. It's been so long since we had this discussion. I really forget. I mean, I know what we talked about, but I forget if we did any prediction on that realm. I don't believe we did. More so, it's just the inflated expectations for fan bases like Michigan or Ohio State or Alabama fans who think that one loss will completely careen their season, and it's a failure of the work that these kids and the coaches do every week. So, I mean, a 10-2 season is still great, but in their inflated egos and inflated minds and how high the bar is raised, it's a waste, and why even bother playing the game? So we do talk about that. It's a lot of great stuff on there. I really enjoyed the first part of this podcast this week. I'm not afraid to admit I enjoy crappy television. For example, Bachelor in Paradise. When we recorded, they were just coming up to the final two episodes. The season's now over, which I'm sure you can go back on to Hulu or on demand or whatever to catch up if you happen to miss it. Or, you know, the end of what happened with people getting engaged and, you know, the stuff that no one really won. I ask him, what was the end to the means of this show? And he gives an answer. I still don't believe in that answer or believe in there was really an end game to that that whole series. I mean, it's I don't get it. There's no winners. There was no cash prizes. It was just two people getting engaged at the end and other people saying they'll stay together. And the one couple didn't even make it to the reunion show. So why even bother having it if there's no cash prize or one winner at the end? That's just my take on that whole series. I guess it was just filler for ABC during the summertime because they didn't have any Dancing with Anybody's, or they couldn't just release another Bachelor on top of the Bachelorette, which you should just do. Just flow it right into the next season. That's just exactly how Bravo does with their Housewives. Just go from one ends, next one begins the final next week, and just go from there. No Paradise, no House, no nothing. Just move on. Let's keep it going. Why even stop the series? Anyway, that's my two cents on that whole thing. It's not sports related, but I don't care. It's something that just popped in my head and I want to talk about it. So you were stuck listening to my 2-minute rant on that one. However, back to football, back to the podcast. We'll be having new episodes coming up here. Sorry for the 2-week hiatus, but as I said, we took a little bit of time off to get some stuff situated and taken care of. Everything's all good around here. I got my producer here sitting next to me, completely passed out, as she always is, which is good because if they are loud, then it makes up for an even more of, I guess, radio interesting. Once again, terrible English on my part. So anyway, I'll wrap it up here for the little intro coming up. Barrett with Bleacher Report. college football preview, which I guess now we're 2 weeks in, so it's not really a preview. But then again, prediction radio is terrible, and we did less prediction, more Bachelor in Paradise. So I hope you enjoy. Follow him on Twitter, at Barrett Salee, myself on the show, at TJ Macklin, Place to Be Nation, at Place to Be Nation. And that's about it. So coming up here at the break, it's Barrett. On the show this week, college football is coming up here. It's going to be another wonderful season, I guess you could say, with Ohio State, their three quarterbacks, TCU trying to buck the trend of the powerhouses getting into the top four. Baylor is going to be a tough team out of the Pac or out of the Big 12, and also Oregon. Could this be the year that they finally win a national title? But before we get into all that here, I have on the show Barrett Salee from Bleacher Report, lead college football writer, old friend of mine from the days when I used to write in Bleacher Report. Before I get in to the season, I got to ask what happened in the offseason and actually what happened last couple weeks with a strong take. I want to see which team you're on. Is it Team Joe or Team Samantha from Bachelor in Paradise with the whole Texgate?
That's like choosing between two of the worst organizations in the world. But I'll say Team Jones. Samantha is, I mean, Tanner has the best quote on the Bachelor in Paradise show because right. He basically the whole time he's just ripping Samantha and calling her this evil, you know, puppet master. That's what she is. I mean, Joe, if I had to pick a side, I'd say Joe, because while Joe did what he did to Julia,
right?
I mean, Sam was the one pulling all the strings. That girl's evil.
I was thinking about this morning when I was getting the show ready in my head, and I'm glad you said that because he did what he had to do to stay there, as we saw in the text messages. It's like the old Herm Edwards saying, "You play to win the game," correct? Because that's what he did. He played to win.
Yeah, and it is a game. And I mean, let's be honest, we're all dudes, and Samantha is a good looking girl. I mean, she's got the crazy eyes, but she's a good looking right. girl. You know, when there's good-looking girls around us, our minds don't work the right way. And so, I mean, Joe is just a pawn in her grand scheme.
This is true. But at least it's not like, say, a Lane Kiffin-wise where... Actually, if you had to pick a Lane Kiffin out of that group, someone that's failing forward, who would that be?
Failing upwards. Who would be Lane Kiffin out of that group? I'd say probably... you know what? He's not going to win anything, but JJ. Because
oh, yeah.
JJ was awful for two seasons of that show. And then when he decides to leave, everyone loves him and gives him a standing ovation and it's all hugs and hand pounds. It's like, right. wow. The guy that everyone hated turns out to be the guy that everyone loves. And I would say JJ, but not everybody loves.
That's a perfect analogy right there because just like – and I'm sure he's going to be on the next whenever they do Bachelor in Paradise again because – he failed forward. He's good, you know, looking, and he'll be back on the show. My favorite, though, is Crazy Amanda, where they say, you know, she wakes up at 6 in the morning and she smells like a brewery. Yeah, because she's been drinking all night. That's who my favorite is. But my question to you here, and we'll actually move on to more better topics here. What's the end game of this show? I don't know. I read you and Ben, and I don't know what the end game to the show is.
I guess it's marriage, but I mean, to me, the whole show exists because it's a beautiful setting.
Right.
There's a bunch of good-looking people. They're all drunk. And they're all doing really dumb things. Like, what's not to like about that show? I don't even know if there needs to be an endgame, to be honest.
This is true. It's basically just a Sandals resort on steroids, and it's a free vacation for these people in their mid-20s, early 30s.
Hey, that sounds like a winner to me. It's better than the Bachelor of Paradise. I can't get enough of Bachelor in Paradise.
I agree for that one. Okay, so college football this year, same thing. Can't get enough of it. It starts tonight, I believe, with Michigan and Utah, correct?
Yeah, South Carolina, North Carolina, and a couple others. TCU, Minnesota, Vandy, and Western Kentucky. There's quite a few tonight.
Right, exactly. So, you know, and you've been doing these shows like my show, you know, your ESPN radio hits you always tweet out about. Is there any question of this upcoming season that just sends you into automatic default, just autopilot mode to where you just regurgitate what you said 1,600 times already?
Pretty much every question at this point. I mean, I've been on so many radio stations and previewed so much. I mean, basically any question you want to throw out, I have a default answer already waiting for it. But, yeah, I mean, that's just the nature of the beast in this business. But I do a ton of radio anyway, and I have a radio show on
Tuesday. Yeah, exactly.
I have a podcast on Beesporto and do about 6 guest hits a day. So, yeah, I mean, there's no question that could be thrown out football-wise that I probably hadn't heard already.
So I'm guessing you enjoyed hearing Bachelor in Paradise to start the show.
Yeah, it's nice to have like a little outlet at times. It's pretty fun, but yeah, exactly.
So with that being said, I'm trying to think which one that could maybe not get you tripped up and go from there or not sitting in default mode. All right, well, we'll start in SEC because that's where your bread and butter is. Spurrier, he's going in – I think he's in his mid-70s now, correct?
Yeah, he just turned 70 this year.
So he just turned 70. How much longer does he have doing this?
Well, I think it depends. He's signed through 2018. I think that will be his last year if he doesn't leave before. I think that this contract is last. And I think a lot of folks think if he struggles, he's going to walk away.
Mm-hmm.
If he struggles, he's going to stay. To me, Spurrier does not want to leave South Carolina on a sour note. He knows what that program is capable of. He knows what he did. So I think ever since he won the SEC East in 2010, he has been in the mindset of going out on top. Mm-hmm. And when they were winning 11 games for a straight year, not playing a SEC championship game, going out on top meant an SEC championship.
Right.
Now, after what happened last year, I think that sort of loosened up that definition. It could just be an SEC East title. It could just be a 10-win season. It could just be an 8-win season with, say, a win over a nationally ranked Clemson team.
Right.
I think whatever, if something like that happens, if the opportunity presents itself for him to walk out on top or it would on a good note, he's going to take it. I don't think he'd go, 6-6 and fail. I think 6-6 only makes him want to stay long.
Right. Gotcha. What about his SEC East this year? I'm going over my head of who a contender is, and that's a pretty wide open division, is it not?
It is. I mean, I think Tennessee is by far and away the best team in that division, though, from a roster standpoint. I think everybody else has major questions. So I'm picking Tennessee. I think they'll only be underdogs in one game this year on the road at Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
They drew more at home, which helps. SEC East schedule, because they get Auburn and Alabama out of the West and have to go to Tennessee. So, to me, I'm not buying the Georgia hype. That team's loaded with roster questions. Mm. Tennessee has a little bit of a deficiency on the offensive line, but there's no roster question. They have a ton of experienced players. They're still young, but they're experienced. And they get a full season working with quarterback Joshua Dobbs as the unquestioned starter, which I think will pay huge dividends. So, Tennessee is my pick. I'm sticking. I think that ultimately the Georgia-Tennessee game in Knoxville in early October is the one that's going to decide the division.
So with that being said, you being a pick in Tennessee, follow-up question, why do you hate Georgia, South Carolina, Vanderbilt, Kentucky, and the rest of – go ahead.
I don't hate those teams. I hate the fans that root for them. it's more of a personal – the division's wide open, and
right.
I think for those teams, for Georgia, they've got too many roster holes for Florida, obviously tradition year for South Carolina, some defensive problems. So I think all those teams are wrought with problems. Tennessee, I don't think is.
I don't see a fault in that one. It seems like they've been hovering around that 7-8 win mark for the last couple of years, and they need to take that next step forward from there. So unrealistic expectations, Alabama always has them every year. Ohio State, is it unreal to think that if they have a 1-2 loss season that it's a complete monumental collapse and it'll be overblown in the media that they are such an underperforming team?
No, I mean, that's sort of the narrative every year Alabama doesn't play for the national championship. So, it'll be there. I think that would be underperforming because I think they're going to win the national championship.
Oh, but, wow.
I don't know because for the most part, people sort of have brought Alabama back down to earth. They realize they're not invincible and realize they have some roster challenges ahead. So if they only lose a couple games and finish 10-2 and out of the playoffs,
mm-hmm.
It's a disappointment for the players, but I think nationally, that may just be considered a normal year, because I don't think as many people are just expecting Alabama to be so good. I am, and I think they should win the national championship, but I don't know how that would play, to be honest with you. I think the shine has worn off of Alabama, but it's certainly not as shiny as it used to be.
What about Ohio State, though? If they finish with one or two losses, is that going to be determined? Are their expectations so big that if they finish with one loss to anybody, that it's fueled as a disappointment in a bad season?
Well, one loss I don't think would be considered that, as long as it's to Michigan State.
Okay.
Because Michigan State's really good. If that one loss is elsewhere, yeah, probably, because the rest of that schedule's kind of a joke. They lost to Virginia Tech last year. They played some close games. But I would say that if they finish 10-2, that's a pretty rough year for Ohio State. That would be a disappointment. But if they finish one with one loss, and that loss being to Michigan State, and Michigan State plays for the Big Ten title out of that division, I don't think that shouldn't be that disappointment, because Michigan State is absolutely a championship Cal team.
Right. So I'll get you out here on this one here, because you have 6,000 more radio hits to do in the day before the season starts up. Here in Austin, where I live at, where a lot of the fan base here, the show is from, Charlie Strong didn't have that good of a year first year. Second year, blank should happen.
They should make a decent bowl game, have some sort of offensive identity.
Okay.
Because defensively, they're fine. I mean, they're going to be really good defense. They were good last year defensively. But they're going to have some sort of offensive identity. I think they can develop that, but right. I think I think you've seen the reports that maybe Charlie Strong doesn't necessarily go full Baylor, but maybe goes a little bit more high energy offensively this year. And so if they can find an offensive identity, get to a decent bowl game, get good bowl practices, get better in those bowl practices, that's a solid year too from Charlie Strong.
So they go kind of more West Virginia then, because going full Baylor is like Robert Downey Jr. in Tropical Paradise. You don't go full Baylor because you can't keep up. So it's kind of like...
I lost it. What did you say?
I was saying they're more of a going to West Virginia in that one, to where it's not as high energy, but they can put up 40 to 50 on you.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. I sort of like it, and I think they're going to go Auburn.
They'll go Auburn. That's good. Auburn.
Hurry up tempo-ish that can slow it down and is more of a power run. Because Auburn gets labeled as a spread team.
Right.
That's a pouncing attack. That's a two-back power rushing attack. It's not a gimmick offense. That's a power attack. I think that's kind of where he wants it to be. Still an old-school program and an old-school offense with a new-school look to it.
Right. 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 Exactly. And it wins. It wins. Gets 10 wins. It gets them to... a potential conference title game and a very good bowl game. All right, that's my 10 minutes here with you, Barrett. I'll cut you loose here for more important ESPN radio hits, and I look forward to following you through Twitter for more Bachelor in Paradise, less college football, you fighting the trolls of 100 and less users. All right, take care, man. All right, there's this week's episode of Barrett's the Lee. As I said, not much prediction radio on there, but then again, I don't care for hearing who the Heisman candidate is in September. It's going to change. Geno Smith was a Heisman candidate in 1 year after 4 games, and then he tailed off shortly thereafter. Hell, Kenny Hill was a Heisman candidate after 1 game, and I'm not even sure if he's in college football anymore. Sure as hell isn't starting at Texas A&M anymore, so... Prediction radio, not what you're expected to hear on this podcast, but what you do hear, good interviews with Barrett, with my guest, and just like the rest of the shows on Place to Be Nation. All right, I'll wrap up here. I know it's a short episode. We're barely pushing 20 minutes, but hey, it's a quick one for you guys. So for Place to Be Nation, follow them on Twitter, follow the show on Twitter as well, at TD McAloon. Drop me a line, let me know what you think, or if there's an upcoming guest that you want to hear, make sure you rate, subscribe to the show on iTunes, also Stitcher, Podbean, and also leave a comment too, so it helps with algorithms and makes the show populate a lot quicker
and make the searching a lot easier for people who are trying to find new podcasts to listen to. You know, hopefully they come over to ours over than some of the more mainstream ones, because I don't have a good reason to. Just hopefully they come listen to us so it can help sponsors come over as well. All right, that's it for the show this week. For the show, I'm TJ Macklin. Thank you for listening. We'll catch you next time.